My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa. Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. I needed one yesterday after that loss. Falcons lose to the Steelers in their opener. We're talking about it with you. If you're just joining us and just joining the show, here's a quick recap, because we got to let you hear what Coach Ra had to say in regards to the health of Kirk Cousins. Mike and I, not just us, but a lot of people around the country are questioning whether he is 100% with what happened yesterday and what we didn't do offensively. Mike, turnovers killed us. Two picks and a lost fumble from Kirk Cousins. Again, I didn't feel like he was ready, and I didn't feel like he was confident when he had time in the pocket, because, again, our drives were literally short and out. We didn't do anything, especially in the second half, to really sustain drives and try to get scores.
I mean, the biggest completion, longest, was at Ray McLeod, right over the middle.
Yep.
There's a lot of video out there. Like, we all saw it. A lot of us were there at the game. Is that he couldn't step into throws. He couldn't generate the torque, or at least, you know, get the ball out like it needed to. I know he did sail one over to the side to Darnell Mooney that I guess was slightly deflected and went through Mooney's hands. But, yeah, we never were able to get the downfield game that everybody was looking for. Drake London had only his three targets. We talked about it earlier. Like, T.J. Watt was in the friggin' huddle. He was certainly in Caleb McGarry's head and in his space, because he was on roller skates much of the day. That first drive was just perfect, and then T.J. Watt breaks it up. They get that screen to Bijan with a little like sort of shoestring tackle that keeps us out of the end zone, and we have to settle for field goals. Carl, you can't blame the defense. The defense held the Steelers until that, you know, the last interception. Long field goals, 57 yarders, for crying out loud.
Yeah, six long ones, man. Here's the thing, guys. If our quarterback is unable to do all the things we want, including our offensive coordinator and Zach, we are not going to be able to perform this offense up to its capability until we know for sure. So that's where we start. Today, Josh Kendall from The Athletic and our own Joe Patrick following up a question about the health of Kirk Cousins. Listen to this.
Is any part of your offensive game plan predicated on Kirk's health and how and what you thought of it, or what you concerned with him coming back from the injury?
You know, with Kirk being here, we've been doing the same thing since he's been here, and that's how we planned on playing. And we played that way throughout. We played that way for a minute, and we've done a bunch of different things in our case. And everything we're going to do is figuring out how to win this football game, and that was the plan, to go out there and win the football game.
So he's healthy. He came back from – he didn't show any signs – ill signs coming in the game or coming recovering from the game, and it's kind of his first live action.
Yeah, you know, obviously you know, probably some rust from not playing for so long, but that's just with all of them. You know, Grady had a bunch of rust. We had a bunch of guys out there, Avery Williams, Kirk, and we want to get better, but we got to play better. At the position, we got to play better around them.
There were a couple indicators about that led people to think one way or another about Kirk's health, which was basically taking no snaps from under center, and then also there was, I think, no play action in the game. Well, is that scheme, or is that something that was situational to this game plan against the Steelers?
Well, everything is going to be situational to the game plan for who you're playing against. And when you go out and you put those guys in what we do and how we want to play and try to put those guys in a good position to get those guys blocked, those aliens that the Pittsburgh Steelers have, you got to try to figure those things out. It exposed some things inside for us and made it a tough day inside. And then it also activated those guys outside a little bit, and those guys got going. And, you know, that's a good football team. And I don't want to take away from any credit what they were able to do, but, you know, our plan to go out there, we got to go out there and execute it better in order to get them protected a little bit better. I believe he gave up 7 hits and he got hurried a bunch. I don't know, 1 sack from T.J. Watt at least, or 2 sacks on the day. But they definitely hit us too much when it came to some of the drop back passes for different situations. Some of it situational on the 3rd down and extra longs. Some of the 2nd down and longs when the get back on tracks got tough when they caught up to our screen game. And then we got to be a better way to stay on track, particularly in the second half.
That's Josh Kendall asking the question along with R. Smoke and Joe Patrick up there today at Flowery Branch Show. We'll be up there Thursday asking more questions. Carl, I got to beg to differ. I mean, if Grady, there was rust with Grady, it lasted for 1 play. Grady was a machine yesterday.
He looked great.
You can't lump Kirk Cousins' rust with what there was no rust on Grady. Come on, maybe Simmons was getting back in the mix, and I thought Judon got better as the game went on, but Kirk Cousins looked terrible.
Yeah, Simmons made a play actually on the ball for, you know, how they're trying to integrate him into getting playing time and snaps and whatnot. Raheem Morris basically said that Kirk Cousins' health is fine, and there's no correlation between play calling and the quarterback's health. Okay, I'm going to believe the coach, but something's got to give. Meaning Monday night, we have to see a better performance from Cousins, and there has to be more flexibility with this offense, or I'm going to have a hard time moving forward believing that. And that's where I'm at. So if he says, hey, there is no correlation between the play calling and the health of our quarterback, I'm going to believe him. He's in the building. He's there every day. They talk about it. They see it. But, Mike, we see it on Sunday. And right. So Monday night, there's got to be something different as we see and how this goes about with the Eagles and what they're able to do and what they're not able to do.
Well, let's see how Aaron Rodgers looks tonight. I know everybody's body is different, but he had his Achilles injury 8 weeks sooner or later, but he's got long recovery time than our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who happened last week in October last season. He looked like a statue. He couldn't throw in. He couldn't move. He couldn't step into throws. And then, you know, then we get back to Zach Robinson. I asked you on Wednesday, what's a Zach Robinson offense going to look like? Falcons were in a pistol or shotgun on 96% of their snaps. He ran more plays from the pistol. That's where you've got the running back Bijan next to him, or Algier on a few plays. More than he's ever had as a starting quarterback in his career. So that's out there. ESPN's got the information. Stats info. Of the 26 snaps out of the pistol, they ran the ball 81% of the plays. So sure, it looked like T.J. Watt was in on the huddle because the trends were obvious. They ran almost exclusively to the left side behind Jake and Matthew Bergeron. I mean, they've got to fix this. Okay, if you're telling me, Carl, I got to take coach at his word that Kirk's okay, that play calling was god-awful.
Well,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you're limited in your play calling because your guy can't do certain things.
That's not what the coach said.
And if you don't want to say it, then this is where we find the interesting gray area, if you want to say that, between what's real, what's not, and what's actually happening. 404-726-0929. Again, with all of that said, frustrated, yes. Disappointed, absolutely. But I'm still excited about the promise of what this season could bring. But I have to see better play on the offensive side. And the crazy thing about going into week one is most of you were worried about the defense. They did their damn job. The offense didn't. Nope. So what's going to happen moving forward is we've got to get better play from our QB, and he can't turn the ball over, right? You got to protect the ball. Minus three guys in the turnover ratio, that kills anybody. Anybody. Browns turned it over yesterday. They lost. Carolina turned it over numerous times. They got killed. All right, look around the NFL. So this is part of the problem. But the other part of it is, Mike, the offense was stagnant. And more importantly, if you're going to say it's all the Steelers' defense and their scheme and all that, well then, okay, now we got a coaching issue.
And look, guys, as we always say, Carl always says, we go with what we know at the time we're talking to you on the radio. We're at practice. Now, granted, Grady doesn't get to hit him.
No.
You know, Cousins is not taking contact, just like in that controlled scrimmage against the Dolphins. But I just said it to you earlier. If you know, again, I'm not saying he's lying. He's going to go with what he says to us. We got to take it at face value. But if you feel that Cousins isn't 100%, why don't you ramp up Penix's reps and let Penix start the season, and then when Cousins is ready, he takes over, which is acceptable considering it's been less than a year since he blew out his Achilles. That's why I'm just – I hope we're not going down this road of like the Dan Quinn stuff where everything's fine, nothing to see here. It's just 1 week, guys. It's
just one week. Yes, it is.
And the sky isn't falling. But Cousins – Carl – those are talking about empty calories, empty possessions, two terrible picks. They snapped the ball into the motion man. I mean, we were getting some success running the football. You mentioned defense was lights out. You held the Steelers to field goals. If you're going to go up to Philadelphia with Cousins looking like this?
It's got to get better. It's got to get better. All right. You want to win a pair of tickets to go see Blake Shelton? We've got them for you right now. It's Friends and Heroes Tour. It's coming to town March 15th at State Farm Arena. Craig Morton, Deanna Carter, Trace Atkins, and more. 404-726-0929. Caller number 8 is going to win the tickets right now for listening to Dukes and Bell. Tickets on sale at State Farm Arena. We're coming back. We do need to talk about the Braves, and we will. And then we will get back into the Falcons conversation because I've got some numbers for you that you won't believe. Stay right there.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley about our Braves. It is a Falcon Monday, and we are spending a lot of time, as we should, on what went down yesterday. But the Braves played this weekend as well, and they are still in the hunt, guys. All right, Grant, you know, today, weird kind of day, because the Reds and Braves play, and then tomorrow the Nationals are in town. But let's talk about what happened this weekend for those who may have been, you know, football crazy, and maybe they had one eye on the Falcons and were watching the Braves. A little bit. They did win in 11 innings on Sunday. Tell me what we learned this weekend.
Yeah, I think if you were able to maybe take the edge off the disappointment on your Sunday, you flipped over and saw the Braves finally figure out a way to score some runs and extras, which is very helpful. And I posted about this on social, but it still kind of blows my mind. The Braves have the most wins and extra innings of any team in Major League Baseball this year. And among the things that just doesn't feel quite like that stat, which they have a few of those, that's way up there for me because they've been able to play extremely well against clubs over 500. They've been really bad in one-run games, but great in extras. I don't get it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. But I think that we saw over the first couple of series of this homestand, the Braves definitely needed to take two out of three. They really needed to get a sweep. The Rockies didn't cooperate, nor did the Blue Jays, a couple of last-place clubs. But to put a punctuation mark on this particular homestand and what they need, they got to beat the Reds tonight for it to be a true success in my mind. And then they've got to continue on and start beating the Washington Nationals, something they haven't been able to do all season long. And I believe they've already lost the season series to the Nationals, as crazy as that sounds. So I don't know that we really learned anything about the Braves. We didn't already know pitching is great. Runs can be a problem, but they're going to have to figure out ways to score. And I felt like they got a little bit creative, at least in extras, because they're a club, I think, that we've recognized at this point that may have to do that at this point, because it's not going to be the traditional wait on the three-run homer approach that maybe they were able to do last year.
Hey, guys, what's up with Kirk Cousins and the Falcons? More on that coming up right now, talking about the Bravos, who are certainly in the mix, dead even with the Mets and the wild card. The Mets lost, Braves win, and another great effort. I guess we won't see Iglesias because he went two innings last night. Got his fifth win of the season, Grant.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he's deployed. I know that Rysel has really been lobbying to go a third inning if need be in extras, but certainly trying to get that second inning of work because he knows how much the club needs it. And when you think about his career, he came up as a starter. He was only in the rotation briefly before the Reds saw a lot of value in him, turned him into a pretty good closer. But I think that that multi-inning role for him, when he talked last week after his kind of, I guess, accepting, if you will, the National League Reliever of the Month for August, or at least commenting on that honor, saying that, hey, this is the time of year for that. I'm ready for that. I'll do whatever I can to help the team. So we'll see how he's deployed. But this continues to be, and I've also said this, and will continue to, Braves MVPs for 2024 in no particular order at this point. Marcell Ozuna, Chris Sale, and Raisel Iglesias. I mean, those three guys have proven to be indispensable, and you could take each name is interchangeable with the phrase, where would the Braves be without blank? And I think with Raisel Iglesias, they would be in a whole lot of trouble in those extra inning games, and he's turned himself into one of, if not the most dependable and automatic closers in baseball. And with a team that struggles to score runs, you certainly need a guy like that.
How soon can Chris Sale wrap this Cy Young up? Like, another great outing, right? He pitched six shutout innings. At what point are you willing to say this is going to happen?
I mean, I feel that way right now. I just don't see anybody in the next, 3 weeks that's going to be able to do. At this point, like, someone else would have to move heaven and earth. And by someone else, I mean Zach Wheeler. That's pretty much it. That's okay. The only guy I feel like that could really give him a push that has the all-around season to do so. That's just how great Chris Sale has been. And when you look at his career and think, this guy hasn't won a Cy Young yet, I mean, that's kind of surprising. I mean, I just assumed that he had, but the best finish that he had was runner-up. But I believe he was top six for, I think, seven consecutive years in the American League. Just couldn't get over the hump of whoever, I guess, was having their career year. Putting that aside, he also made some history on Sunday. He passed Sandy Koufax, Dennis Eckersley, and Kevin Brown to move into the top 50 all-time in strikeouts. And I don't know that I need to do this because it's a what-if scenario, but imagining that injuries were not as prevalent for Chris Sale the past 4 years, this is a guy I think who'd be breezing by 3,000 on his way to 4,000 strikeouts because he is one of the most dominant strikeout pitchers by Ks per nine, if nothing else, of any pitcher we've seen in any era of baseball.
Grant, you've been talking about the Phillies and the Mets finally locking horns as the Braves hopefully can, knock wood, beat up on the Nationals. You got to wait till Friday the 13th, but you're still hanging on to us grabbing that final wild card spot.
Yeah, and the wild card has started to become a little bit more interesting than that, Mike, because you've got the Padres all of a sudden cooled off. They're just 5-5 in their last 10, lost back-to-back games. They're two games ahead of the pack. The Diamondbacks are only a game and a half in front of the Braves and the Mets. So really at this point, with I believe it's 19 games to go for virtually all four clubs, we haven't decided anything. I mean, who's going to be the number one wild card? There could be a two-game swing in 19 games. I mean, stranger things have happened, and all these clubs are going to have to figure out ways to win. The Mets have a bit of an uphill climb, I feel like, with seven games against the Phillies and three more against the Braves before the season is over. The Braves also, with a little bit of a softer schedule, facing clubs like the Blue Jays and the Reds team and the Nationals teams they need to beat. They do have that game against the Mets, but the final series of the year against the upstart Kansas City Royals, who are eyeing the playoffs for the first time in a decade as well. So it's kind of an uphill climb, I think more so for the Mets than the Braves, if you just look at strength of schedule. But I don't think you can take anything for granted this time of year. And as we've seen, no matter how great the Braves pitching has been, there are still some significant questions about this offense. And that is going to be the key, I feel like, to the Braves unlocking the door to get into the postseason over the next three or so weeks.
Reds won the first two games in this series. It was rain, yeah, obviously. And then this is a makeup game for the second game of the doubleheader that was set back on July 24th. What happens tonight? Tell us what we should expect.
Well, hopefully Charlie Morton can continue doing the thing that the Braves rotation has been doing by and large for the better part of a month, and that is to continue putting the club in position to win. I think the bullpen has done an excellent job when the starter is done here lately. The Braves have got a sub-2 ERA over their last 8 games, but unfortunately, they got a 4-4 record to show for it. That's how good the pitching has been. That's how paltry the offense has been. So you score early, score often, give Charlie Morton a little bit of run support. One note, Travis d'Arnaud not going to be in the lineup tonight. Hmm. He got to the ballpark, and then his wife went into labor, so he's going to be on the paternity list. Chadwick Tromp is up. D'Arnaud is expected back for the weekend series against the Dodgers.
Okay. Good stuff. Grant, as always, man, getting an update. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to you tomorrow as we start to count down. How many games? 19 games, right, left?
19 games to go, yep. Mm. We are down to the nitty-gritty, as they say.
Yeah, man. All right, good stuff, Grant. We will talk to you tomorrow, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, coming up, we're going to hear from the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, but also some numbers that tell you exactly what happened yesterday as the Falcons lose their home opener. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Falcon Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, Coach's Show, in about 20 minutes, Raheem Morris with our Dave Archer. They'll have a player segment as well tomorrow, by the way, on the show. We've got a bunch of guests. We'll tell you more about that. And Thursday, we'll be up at Flowery Branch getting ready for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, you guys know this, right? 2 days, 48-hour rule for us as well here on this show, and then we got to turn the page. This is the National Football League. Can't be lingering on what happened on Sunday when the Philadelphia Eagles will be getting ready for us on Monday night. Here's the thing, Mike, as we talk about this game, and a lot of folks have hit us up today. We appreciate all the calls, all the input, and conversation we've been having. I think we all are on the same page. We're frustrated with what we saw offensively. It felt like we weren't even competitive, right? It felt like that was total domination by their defense, and then we didn't do anything to spice things up to get anything going. But here's what's crazy, Mike, and these are the numbers I want to give you, and then I want you to hear what Kirk Cousins had to say. And by the way, if you're just joining us, Raheem Morris today came out and said, all right, that there is no correlation to the play calling and the health of our quarterback. Again, there is nothing between the play calling and the QB's health.
All right, man. They had him in the shotgun more than he's ever been. Had him in the pistol with the running back next to him more than he's ever been in his career. It's documented from ESPN stats. He didn't pass the eye test. He couldn't step into his throws. He threw two of the worst. That's something Desmond Ridder could do.
That's right.
Guys, we go with what we know. We were always told he was good to go. Kirk wanted, for the record, to play in the preseason. Coach Ross said, no, can't risk the injury. This team needed, they got to find some kind of balance, Carl, to get the starters some reps in the regular season, because this team as a whole just looked rusty. The defense, guys, you can say what you want. It's not a great elite offense with the Fields in there for Wilson. You held them to long field goals. Defense did their job. You turned the ball over 3 times. You had drives that were looking promising to go out the window.
Yeah.
So you cannot, and the defense had to get back out there. Time of possession was huge advantage for the Steelers.
So
Cousins looked terrible.
He did. He was awful. And he knows it. All right, here's the deal. I just want to talk about the second half specifically.
Lay it on me.
These were our possessions. 5 plays, 13 yards, fumble. 5 plays, 0 yards. You held the ball for 3 minutes. You get nothing out of it. 3 plays, 5 yards. You held the ball for a minute, 08. Mike, that's the third quarter. That's the third quarter. But it gets better. Fourth quarter, 3 plays, 7 yards. You hold the ball for a minute, 56. That's the Pitts formation, illegal formation drive, where we set ourselves back. 2 plays, Mike, interception. 13 yards, 46 seconds, you held the ball. 3 plays, 2 yards, guess what? You get sacked, ball game's over. That's the fourth quarter. That's how bad it was. So you got 5 plays, 5 plays, 3 plays in the third quarter, 3 plays, 2 plays, 3 quarters, or 3 plays in the fourth quarter, and you had a illegal procedure, you had a pick, and you got sacked. That's how you ended the game.
And we talked about it. You know, you had that great drive in the first half. You're going down the field, look like you're going for 6, and then, T.J. Watt, boom, just blows up McGarry. We knew that McGarry was the weakest link. We said it earlier. Whatever Pro Football Focus does for their metrics about offensive line, and look, yes, Watt makes a lot of guys look foolish, but we were worried about, McGarry is specifically on the right side. That's why they ran and were so predictable. They're running to the left side behind Bergeron and Jake Matthews. So a lot of things, a lot of guys were upset with the receivers. I didn't think the receivers got any separation.
I didn't either.
Great for Kyle Pitts, blown coverage. He's equaled his touchdown total from his rookie season, and hopefully we'll see more of that in the red zone. But I got to be honest. I had no idea at times what Zach Robinson was doing, the predictability of it. I think they had to get with Dalvin and say, you're telling. There's something on the snap count that T.J. Watt's in the backfield. You got to do something to break it up.
Let's hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, before we get out of here. This was him with Arch yesterday after the game.
Not the result certainly you wanted, Kirk, and I know that we as quarterbacks, you try to value the football. I know you're disappointed in some of that.
Yeah, I think three turnovers. It's hard to win with three turnovers. You shouldn't win when you have three turnovers, and it's a shame because our defense, I thought, did a really good job, you know, and we didn't play enough complimentary football to take advantage of the way our defense played.
Tell me about the foothold that looked like you started to get there, even the opening drive, where you guys kind of really mixing things up. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was a strong first drive. Thought we ran the football well most of the day. Had a good timely third down conversion there on the first drive. You know, it's as old as time, but when you beat yourself, you know, that's when you get beat. So when we weren't beating ourselves, we moved the football. But too many times we beat ourselves and killed drives.
Well, there was certainly a lot of pressure, and you knew that they were going to come with pressure. That's who they are. That complimentary back end, front end stuff seemed to cause some problems for you guys today.
Yeah, again, you know, we moved the football well, but we had the fumble, if you will, on the shotgun snap, and then had the first interception, and then the second interception. So it just felt like, you know, we had a tough, untimely penalty a couple times that we felt like we were moving, and then suddenly we got called back, and now instead of first and 10, we're, you know, third and long or second and long. So a lot of things that made life a lot harder for us.
Conversation will obviously ebb to, okay, didn't play in the preseason. The first unit didn't play, not just Kurt, but the first unit didn't play, and a little bit of rustiness. I didn't see that. How did you feel about that?
I mean, there's no excuses, and we got off on that first drive well. So, you know, and we've talked about this, that it's a calculated deal. You know, we need to have our guys healthy. So that was the focus, and you know, now we've got to quickly turn it around and you know, make sure that it's truly its own entity, the one game, and you flush that and you move forward and try to get the next one.
Okay, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
Look, we all like Kirk Cousins. We talked about it. Can't wait to see him out there. But, Carl, I mean, it's just hard. It doesn't pass the eye test. Coach went out on the record today, asked by Josh Kendall from The Athletic and R. Joe Patrick specifically about, is Kirk Cousins 100%? He says he is. So we got a long, long way to go then. And Zach Robinson, we're excited to see what his offense is going to look like. It just seems like what he was doing was predicated by the lack of health of Cousins. It's hard not to think that's the case.
No, I totally agree. We will have plenty to dive into tomorrow as well as we continue to talk about how this team needs to get better, not just offensively, guys, but across the board. I thought defense and special teams were good, but there's a room for improvement everywhere. Greg Allman's going to join us. He covers the AFC, NFC South, should I say. Look, say what we want about the Saints. They look like gangbusters week one. Tampa looked really good week one. Carolina looked like we thought they would. They're not any good. We told you that, and they did not show anything.
And they're already writing articles that maybe Bryce Young is just a plain bust, and he can't do it.
We're going to talk to Greg Allman tomorrow. West Durham set to join us as well. Grant, we'll talk some more college football here on the show, but we got to get out of the way and get ready for the coaches' show. Stay tuned. That's coming your way. And then Turtle will have a bridge show for you leading up to Monday Night Football. Hey. Like the Jets tonight, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we're going to see. Now, here's Aaron Rodgers. He injured his Achilles. That was 8 weeks before Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, is that the big difference if we're going to see Aaron Rodgers moving around, doing his thing? Hassan Reddick, by the way, losing $800,000 a night now every time he misses a game, along with the $5 million he's already missed from practice for the Jets. He's not going to play.
All right. We will have plenty to get to tomorrow. And, again, appreciate all the input. Find us on social media. You guys can hit us up that way. Big O, let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, guys. Again, tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Make sure you're here. Thursday, we're up at Flowery Branch, and we'll be at the Ticketmaster Studios. That will be a weekly thing, so you can look forward to hearing from not only coach but players as well as we get ready for the games as we move along through the season. Listen, you thought week one was big. Week two is even bigger now, considering we took the L. We'll dive a little bit more into that. More NFL conversation tomorrow. And Georgia on the road against Kentucky. Listen, everybody expecting to beat, you know, Tennessee Tech. Maybe this will be a more challenging game. We'll talk more about that as well and more about Georgia Tech as well, as they got a rebound. Hey, man, Big O, great job as always. Turtle, executive producing. We're back at you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, NIU, way to beat those Irish. Okay, that's just it's an appetizer for the long comment. Guys, it's the same old. We're used to it. Opposing fans from a legacy team come in and take over the stadium. You feel angry and mad. You're leaving. I did 2 minutes left with the game when Cousins threw that last pick. We're selling optimism, but it's hard because so many Falcon fans, Carl, have been down this road before. Guys, let's not overreact. Let's hope they will fix it. But I think we could all agree When we looked at the first 4 weeks of the easiest schedule in the NFL, this was the hardest part. And it's hard to see us winning, you know, three games here, going 3-1, let alone 2-2 when you lose to the Steelers. Hope they come up with a better mousetrap, but that offense was god-awful yesterday.
You know, it's one thing to have a great rookie season, but you have to follow it up. Can you do it again and then again and then again? And when you do, that's when people start to say, maybe he is great. C.J. Stroud came out and followed it up. Listen, the Texans were down in this game. They fought back. Stroud, 24 for 32, 230 yards, Mike. Two touchdowns, two Stephon Diggs. Mm. For everything that we thought about C.J. Stroud, he again looks the part. Bryce Young, not so much. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you told your wife to start Kirk Cousins over Jaden Daniels.
Oh, man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.